Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com, code program.
Hello and welcome, a very warm welcome to the Luke and Pete show. I know Pete normally does this bit and I am Luke, but Pete's faffing with the aircon in the studio because it's bloody hot today. So Pete, I'd just step up and just fill in for you.
Thanks, Lukey Luke. I'm just hoping the attenuation of our noise gets on our microphones means that you won't be able to hear any aircon noise.
We're all hoping that.
Cross-pollination. We're all hoping that. I can hear you, you can hear me, and I just hope the listeners can hear us both.
I can hear you, mm-hmm. You can hear me. What a lovely Luke and Pete Show family.
Nice stuff. Lovely. Now you've taken your little sailor's hat off.
Yeah.
Since the last recording. You sound a little bit more free, a little bit more exciting.
Shortly after we did that episode, the wife I have access to walked in.
Yeah.
Because I think she's used to hearing me say the out bit. And then
okay.
She's like, okay, I'm coming now in terms of do stuff.
Yeah. And she went, is that Captain Stabbing?
She was like, she came in, she went, what are you doing?
I'm an internet streamer now, and my character is Captain Luke, and Captain Luke Picard of the SS Enterprise.
And all I do is on my YouTube channel is I draw pictures in a thick graphite pencil of bigger boys with no clothes on.
Bigger boys with no clothes on. I hear you're getting big into the furry scene.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Brony as well.
Bronies. No one's a brony anymore.
Are they not, no?
I don't think so. Nobody talks about it anymore. They're all about big, muscular shire horses with big, veiny hogs.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. And can the furry scene be traced back to the Cadbury's Caramel Bunny?
Possibly.
Is that the genesis of it?
Well, I may have mentioned it before on the show, as is my catchphrase. Eric Schwartz was the guy who used to do animations on the Amiga. I loved animation when I was a kid. I wanted to be an animator. Turns out I can't draw, so it's hard.
You're a pretty good drawer, but you're probably not good enough to be professional.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he would do these like animations with these kind of bunny characters on the Amiga, and they'd have you'd have a floppy disk. You'd get them from a website, not even a website back then, but a mail order kind of thing in the back of a magazine. And it would say, "Oh, X-Watch has got a new cartoon out," and you'd pay a couple of quid, and they'd send you a floppy disk, and you bang it into your Amiga, and he'd make this little animation about like little characters and stuff. But they were mainly like quite humanoid kind of sexy rabbits.
Anthropomorphized rabbits.
Bipedal rabbits. And they were, I sort of only kind of look back at that time and thought, oh my God, he was like a furry. Like he was into like
that
drawing sexy characters and stuff. Well, no, I think he clearly had. And there's rumours, like reading up on this Eric Schwartz character from the 90s, the Amiga shareware scene back in the day, public domain scene. There's rumours that he's actually he would do other drawings and other animations for some slightly more erotic and slightly more extreme characters.
It's like Eric Schwartz Knights.
Yeah, exactly.
Like Hollyoaks Knights.
Like Robert Crumb, but if it was two Robert Crumbs and one of them was completely normal.
Oh, yeah, I just looked it up, and the furry scene can be dated back to the underground comic scene of the 70s.
Nice, okay, apparently. That's fair.
Where it all started. Yeah. But it's
comics were so subversive back then, weren't they?
They were. But if you take into, well, it's a big thing. I mean, you know, Lawrence Levine, the great I guess media academic, I suppose you'd call him, talks about, argues quite strongly that actually we learn a lot more about ourselves and our society from fiction, from works of fiction, from the things that human beings engage in than we ever would from who the president was or what army fought what battle kind of thing. So it's a big part of our culture.
Why don't you read some? You're always reading those history books.
I should
get
read
involved,
some.
Mate.
I should. But Pete, and I think that's true of Marvel and stuff like that, isn't it? Back in the day, they're making points about stuff in a quite a subversive way. But what I like about the furry movement starting in the 1970s, if what I've just read is to be taken as correct, like someone just did it. And so I'm going to be brave enough to do this. I'm into this.
Yeah,
so I'm going to do it.
I'm going to be the guy who does this.
And I'm going to bank on the fact that I'm going to find some people who are going to like it. Imagine if you did something and no one came back.
I mean,
couldn't find a single other human being that went, yeah, I like that as well. How lonely would you feel?
Before the internet, you'd be very much kind of, it would be much harder. And you'd sort of go, well, I just haven't. But do you really want to share your fetishes? Because like,
is it a fetish?
What? Wanting to fuck rabbits?
But is that the right word? Apparently you're not supposed to say that these days, are you?
What? Fuck rabbits?
Fetishing.
Fetishing. Fetishing. Look,
you talk about kink shame and all that kind of stuff.
Right, okay. Yeah, but I'm talking about
you're
it.
You're not judging
saying, it. I'm not judging
Fair
it.
Fair enough. Carry
do
on
what
then.
You want.
Carry on. I apologise for interrupting you. You carry on.
There's just a little. I've looked at a little, you know, 100 pack
Careful.
Of cotton buds in a boots and thought, ooh.
What?
Like
what
a little,
have you thought?
Like a little rabbit's bum, that, innit? Oh. Clean up on aisle one. No, I think before the internet, like imagine not, I don't know, fetishes for me, like, I don't want to know what the bloke in a forum thinks about the same thing that I like, you know what I mean? Like, do you really want that in your life?
No, I know what you're saying. And the thing that I have to work really hard on this show to kind of overcome is my quite genuine annoyance that when I was in the office earlier, just looking at what I was going to talk about today, I found that, I think it's the James Webb telescope has just, just confirmed, forgive me if that's the wrong telescope, but a telescope has just confirmed that
rabbits are sexy.
No, that there are now 4 quadrillion stars observable in the universe, right? And I thought to myself, you know what?
Take it to where's my jetpack, baby? Take it to that.
Pete ain't going
to
want to talk about that. What does he start with? The
Do you want to fuck a rabbit or not?
The Amiga floppy disk culture.
Yeah, exactly. That's my big
animals,
telescope.
Sexy cartoon
that's
animals,
my big,
baby.
I think they tell us a lot more about space and my black hole.
Put your big telescope away in the cotton bud aisle. We don't want to see it.
So I heard about this from your co-host, Sarah Crudders. There's a big telescope happening. They've just found a new telescope, or you put a new lens in it. They've rubbed the end of it with a lint-free cloth.
Yeah, yeah. And what are you asking me?
What's the situation?
Well,
Repeat what you just said, really. I wasn't listening.
It's just quite a big deal, I suppose, and it's still early days. And I'm not a scientist, so I could have this wrong, but it's quite a big deal because I think it suggests that even cosmologists and astronomers have underestimated the sheer number of stars available that are actually out there.
Right.
So essentially it's almost, I suppose, you'd infer from it that it's almost impossible for there not to be other Earth-like planets out there because the numbers involved are so vast, even vaster than we thought.
But surely the further out you go, infinite's a funny old thing, isn't it? I mean, yeah, there is less chance, but surely the same amount of chance? I don't know anymore.
Was it because the numbers involved are so massive?
It's so massive anyway.
So I think it's a quadrillion. I think it's 4, and then I love that it's just a 4. Probably 4.
4.
With 24 zeros after it.
Right.
How many stars, I think, in the observable part that we can see. And the James Webb Space Telescope was launched like late last year. And so I think now is when they're starting to get the results back.
Right, okay.
But like, I think it was Arthur C. Clarke who said, we're either alone in the universe or we're not, and either is terrifying.
Yes,
right?
Which is quite
a cool way of putting it. I just think it's fascinating how people can do this kind of thing. And no one really, I mean, it'll get a couple of days of coverage in the news, but no one really cares that much. And it just, to me, it always makes everything like, what's Boris Johnson done now? It just seems so insignificant. It Which does. I know it isn't because it affects people's lives, but you understand what I mean.
Yeah, but if you're ever in a meeting and you're having a squabble with a colleague, it's like, it's none of this fucking matters, does it?
It doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
But isn't that something that is helpful for people? Do you not find that helpful? Well, you think fucking none of this matters anyway. You said to me before, and I hope I don't betray our confidence here, and Rory's away, so you can get on the edit if you need to. You said to me before, you like seeing people being knocked about on videos because it reminds us that we're all just meat puppets.
Yeah. That's comforting, isn't it?
Yeah, that's comforting to you, though, right?
Yeah, but then I am a big follower of ISIS as well, so I just love I just love anything they do. They're the Eric Schwartz of the thousands, to be honest.
Is that right? Yeah, big fan of their work.
Big fan of their work. They're all furries, a lot of them.
We were supposed to start this
Kinky
episode.
Kinky little buggers.
We're supposed to. Oh, they definitely are. They definitely
Kinky
are.
Kinky little
they
buggers.
They are definitely. Definitely.
But fundamentally, are just by their very nature kinky.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they've seen something gone. That's not enough for me. I need to be worse or better.
Take up mountain biking.
Yeah, I was actually talking about that the other day. Right. Maybe I'll come on to that another time because that is probably. I mean, listeners are rolling their eyes about that. Rolling their eyes about me talking about mountain biking. Right. We were supposed to start this episode as we promised on Monday. Mm-hmm. You talking about your beach hut on the holiday.
Oh, yeah.
Cornwall, was it Cornwall?
It was in Cornwall,
What part?
It was near... Where does everyone have the stag do's?
You should know.
Where does everyone know have the stag
you
do's?
You came back yesterday. You should know.
Because we went to Bath. Because it's a... I didn't realise how long a fucking journey
that's
it is.
That's not in
huge.
Cornwall.
I know. Yeah. Went to Bath for one night. Then drove to Cornwall. It was near Newquay. It was Lusty Glaze. Lovely beach.
Okay, right.
Had a little cabin. And
nice time there,
innit? I have to be kind of careful about how I describe the cabin because
no, you don't.
There's not that many of them and I probably could get in trouble. my big three. I'll do it in descending orders of problems. Number one thing that I found was, I tell you what, the sea, Luke. The sea, there's a lot of things in the sea that look like your glasses when they've just fallen off your head.
the turtle and the pear all over again.
I tell you what, there's a lot of things in the sea what look like spectacles when you've just lost them off your fucking head. Went jet skiing for hour and a half, glasses on, just absolutely panning it through some pretty... I'd done it before about 15 years ago in Cape Verde, very still waters, and a beautiful West African island. And like that was really easy and fun. But this one was like a bit more intense. It was like a lot of big waves and a lot of like impact on your lower back, smashing over waves and stuff. It was loads of fun. I had an absolute ball. Managed to sort of get through all that without losing my specs. I got off the jet ski and a little wave took me over a little bit and my glasses went absolutely...
And you not found them?
Not found them. I looked for ages, like just going up and down the beach like a weirdo. Just trying to find some spectacles so quickly and
so fast, it just went
bang and I was like but I was trying to also style it out that I hadn't fallen off the jet ski. I possibly could have had a better chance of grabbing them, but
there are a lot of people around.
Did you just enlist people
to help you?
That's even worse. I just
what's more important to you, your pride or your glasses?
Clearly my pride. Well, there you go then.
And this is the result you've got.
I'm wearing my spares.
Yeah.
That was one. Number two.
Were these prescription sunglasses?
No, these prescription glasses.
That's bright, isn't it? On a summer's day in Cornwall, you've got no sunglasses on.
Well, I'd left my prescription sunglasses at a school.
I just don't want to put on the thread. If I put on the thread, it never knows what's going to happen.
I left my prescription sunglasses at a school.
Listeners won't be able to see what I'm doing here, but what have you... Because I can't remember the name of them. What about... So this is me doing the glasses.
Yeah, little foldy down ones. I bought some and I ordered them to an Amazon locker. And because of various reasons that I'll come into, I didn't have time to go and collect them from the post office / Amazon locker thing. So there are a pair that I own technically, but they're in a post office Amazon locker.
Okay, cool. So that's number one.
Number one, shit show. Second one is the double Chinese conundrum. I ordered some Chinese... got to a hotel in the New Forest.
To a beach hut? Oh, no,
to the New Forest.
Okay,
so we're now in the New Forest. Fucking horses everywhere. What's that about?
It's wild horses,
it's
there,
insane.
Mate.
It's insane.
Wild horses.
Yeah. Just rolling around. Brilliant. It looked like a fucking weird film, like for Guinness or something. I'd never seen something so weird.
Lloyd's Bank.
And we
both
were.
Excellent sponsors. He'd be welcome here.
in our place of work. Got to the hotel, fucking ridiculously nice hotel in the middle of the New Forest, fantastic stuff. Couldn't get us in the restaurant, couldn't get us any food to the room. I was like, well, you possibly could have mentioned that when we checked in.
So middle of nowhere as well.
Well, exactly. So I drove to, I phoned up a Chinese. I went, did my usual order, Chris Jenner beef, lemon chicken, egg fried rice. Rang up and it was the only one in the area.
Yeah.
So I drove in there and went to the Chinese and said, we've got no record of this order. I was like, what? He's like, we've got no, and I was, and there were like orders that were kind of quite similar. And I was like, maybe they'd misheard me. I was like, all right, okay. I'll reorder my order. I want this. Paid, sat down, and then I was sort of looking around, and then I looked over the road, and there's just another Chinese.
Ah.
And I'd actually ordered it with them.
So you had both?
So.
You got to take both, surely.
I wasn't going to.
You of all people. Because I explained. You of all. Our listenership will be fuming about
I
this.
I explained to the one behind the, and she went, oh, you've already paid now. Just stay here. Like, she was really conspiratorial. She went, oh, yeah. Just stay here.
Big rivalry, I reckon.
It was crazy. I thought I was going to start some kind of turf war. But then.
But you've mugged off that business there. They've cooked up all that food.
I know. So I came out and I got my Chinese and I was like, and I put the Chinese in the car and I looked back into the other Chinese.
And they looked at you and you were like, they know it's me. I'm panicking. I've gone all hot.
Bearing in mind, they're just like, you know, they don't know who I am. Don't tell me.
Car won't start.
And so, but it was just like a mum, like the other Chinese was absolutely bouncing, loads of people in there. Nobody in this Chinese. It must be the bad Chinese.
Well, no wonder it's conspiratorial. I'm quite big down that part of the world. You're never going to go there again.
Exactly.
I'm going to make sure you never go there again.
And so I'm like, and so I had to go in and pay for my food. So I had double Chinese on a Saturday night. Lovely.
How does Sarah feel about that?
She was confused, especially because we didn't really have any plates to eat it. We just ate spoons.
Is that her default position, though, confusion?
I think Sarah's default position on this is a bit weird because she genuinely thinks that you're not allowed to eat other people's food in your hotel. I was going, I mean, basically, they've not let us have any food.
They don't offer anything.
They don't really offer any. Because I was going to go at the front desk and ask for a plate and some cutlery. I think that's a fair request, isn't it?
A bit passive aggressive.
What do you mean?
After you've already asked them if they serve food.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to eat the soil out of the New Forest then. I've got to find one of these horses. I'm going to eat one of them.
You stop. Well, I've got a story about that in a minute.
Ooh.
You stomp down there after. Yeah. Asking if you can have food and they say no and angrily ask for some cutlery and crockery. It's quite passive aggressive.
I don't think it's passive at all. I think it's just like, I want some food. I've bought some food. They offered to book us a table in a pub down the road. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
I'll go and get a Chinese. Like, I'll go and get two Chinese. This guy's, there's only two people in that room. Why is he?
What would you have done is you finished the two Chinese and they said, oh, by the way, we've put you in that restaurant.
Oh, no.
You got to go down there.
Incredibly.
Yeah.
And the final one was, got to the beach hut, beautiful little kind of shack. And there was a loft. There was a loft, Luke. There was a loft.
Why is there always a loft with you?
There's always a loft with me.
Yeah.
So I opened the loft, pulled down the ladder.
I don't think you should be doing that.
Didn't say don't do it.
Have they made it clear that it's off limits?
No. Nope.
Okay.
It was just a loft, and I was like, I want to see what's in the loft. Turns out it was like so much documentation, like boxes, you know, those big filing boxes with just loads of kind of lifeguard training manuals and questionnaires and just like it, and it was just all over the loft, like absolute mountains of it, you know what I mean, like almost structurally problematic amounts of documents. Right,
I'm Pete Donaldson and this is this American life.
This is Jackass. And so I put my foot through the ceiling.
What?
I put my foot through the ceiling, Luke.
Did you own up to it?
Nope.
Pete. For fuck's sake, how did it manifest itself in the floor below?
So there was, some of the loft was boarded to cope with the structural weight of this, of all of these boxes. And so I managed to find a one that looked like boards, but it wasn't. It was actually the underside of the ceiling. So all through the house was plasterboard.
You've got no
ceiling.
Way. You cannot have an aggrieved tone while telling this story. I demand that you have a respectful tone here.
And I went to put my weight on it and it went crack, foot through the ceiling. Oh, fuck.
Did it come out of the ceiling?
My toes did, yeah.
Your toes? Your bare foot?
Yeah. My toes did.
How big is the hole?
So, because it was all boards, basically, I spent the next, like, Sarah wasn't at me.
Not happy. I wasn't even there.
So the foot goes through, and I managed to extricate my foot from the boards and from the bathroom effectively, and And it was good because it was the best room to do it in, because otherwise I would have had to dealt with some cracked plasterboard and some plastering and stuff that I would have
to do. You're losing your deposit, you know that.
Anyway, I go to the bathroom and I was like, oh, fuck. Structurally, it wasn't too bad. I was able to push the boards back up so that they roughly, in approximation, kind of looked like a ceiling again. And
listen to yourself.
There were some big chunky splinters that I did need to go to the DIY shop, glue back into the ceiling, and then paint over the top.
It's just a nice holiday for Sarah, isn't it? Just a lovely time. Why are you like this? Why are you like this?
I think by the end it was quite. It was.
You're
going to
show me a picture now, are you?
I'll show you a picture of what it looked like at the end of my my business. It was good.
Have you had, it's not
it's
good.
Good. It's good. Had any good days. Good times.
Have you had any correspondence from the proprietor?
Well, you will. It'll surprise you because I always talk about how awesome my my Airbnb rating is, and my Airbnb rating is very much kind of predicated on me. Like, if it's my Airbnb booking, I won't put my foot through the ceiling. But if it's someone else's, I'll put my foot through the ceiling. So
I just feel for Sarah. She's had to worry about... You can't see her because you've lost your glasses. You've overloaded her with Chinese food she probably doesn't want. And then you've rounded it all off with a lovely little foot through the ceiling.
Yeah. But the worst thing was, I was like, well, I'm not going to pay all that money for a paintbrush. I'll just use my thumbs and my hand to push the paint back on the ceiling.
What?
And that was a false economy because it just got everywhere. And they had this kind of like e-cover, kind of not quite chemical washing up liquid. So I couldn't even wash it off my bloody hands.
What is happening here?
It was terrible.
So you made a decision to paint over, but you didn't buy a paintbrush. You used your fingers.
Yeah.
What do you think this is?
What do you think this is?
That's worse than not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
The best thing you could have done is just called up and said, sorry about this, but then you can't explain why you're in the fucking attic. So you can't front up to it because you shouldn't have been up there.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a picture of it, but I can't seem to find a picture. I took some pictures and genuinely Sarah looks a bit glum, so I'm presuming that's after it happened. But
did you call up the owner and go, listen, I am working on a magic trick. I'm doing my best.
Oh dear, what an idiot! But it's fixed now, and no one seems to have noticed.
So that's not the main thing. But that's something.
Is the main
at least.
Thing,
that's
though,
something
isn't it? Is the main thing, though, isn't it? It's fine.
Okay,
looks like a normal.
Let's have a look at the
normal. It's just a normal ceiling, you know.
I tell you, if I'm being totally honest, I don't think I'll be able to tell.
I don't think you'd notice. The only point is, I used gloss paint instead of matte paint, so there is a bit of a.
But if they haven't been there for a while, they might think that someone handyman's done that. Or wait,
exactly.
Wait, handyman has done it.
Handyman has done it.
You thought you were going to say this is the measure of how far I've fallen with my expectations of you. I thought you were going to say from when you said I didn't get a paintbrush. I thought you were going to say I felt like because I did the damage to my foot, I should repair it with my foot.
Yeah,
and that tells you everything you need to know about.
So let it bleed through. Just pour it into the top of into the ceiling from above. Yeah.
Can we have a quick ad break?
Yes.
Can you not break anything in the ad break?
All right.
And when we come back, we'll do some battery brands, and I'm sure people will want to hear your take on it, Pete.
Okay.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection. Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We're back with the Luke and Pete show, and since it's a Thursday, we're only doing bloody batteries, Lukey Moore. Have you got the email box ready?
I have got the email box ready. We keep finding them.
There was some absolute controversy on Twitter, I seem to recall, last week. You, Luke, are bad at describing things.
What happened?
Somebody got in touch that came in with a battery brand a few weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago anyway, where you assured me it was Al Maplow on Twitter. Thank you, Al. For the avoidance of controversy here, are the new players in the game from yesterday's edition of the Luke and Pete Show. Cheers.
All right. Yeah.
The dinosaur in the pub, Dad.
Yes.
And he, and basically, I hadn't seen the picture of the batteries. You had seen the picture of the batteries.
Because you couldn't be asked to look, that's why.
I don't know where they are.
They're in the running order. You just got to click on the link.
What? The battery pictures is on the link. No, they're not.
All right, I can't remember.
Big fat liar. Anyway, you found them because you had access to the... Because you were searching for them. You were searching for Tadiran brands. That's your job, but you had access, so you need to let me know. You need to be my eyes and ears. That is not a double A cell. They are, somebody pointed out, 3.6 volts. Battery, which is higher than a double A battery.
I literally said 3.6 volts on the show. People
did
can listen
you
back.
Though?
I did.
People can listen back.
They
I'm
can.
Not listening back. Either way, it wasn't. They're slightly smaller than a.
You can't
a
play with
A.
people's emotions like this.
You're playing with people's emotions because you're not describing them right. And I thought that was a double A. You said that was a double A cell. It's not a double A cell. It's way too small. And I erroneously put it into the Hall of Fame.
It's out then. It's out.
It's out and it's gone. I'm so sorry. Al, we love you dearly,
but you can't
thank you for
it.
Giving us
the rules are rules.
They can't have it. Yeah. Chris has got in touch this week with a new player. Felt like getting a new player into the game.
It's not a new player. Point. We haven't decided yet.
That's what he said.
He can fuck off.
This is rare as a head's tooth. But I must do my due diligence. Found these beauties in a toy Simone bought my son over a year ago. We don't know who Simone is, but thank you, Chris, for that bit of information in your life. finally had to replace the batteries and found a set of Zerns. Super heavy duty, of course. A new player. We shall see. Chris is all over the place here.
So that's Zerne, right?
Yeah, super heavy duty.
Yeah, and I like the fact that why do batteries brands always just put super heavy duty on them?
Super heavy duty.
Yeah. Sadly, Chris, they're not new players because, check this out, Jeremiah, our friend Jeremiah, sent some Zerne super heavy duties on Christmas Day last year.
Oh, good times.
And what I liked about Jeremiah's entry back in the day on Christmas Day is that they came in a space sword.
Wow.
I don't know what that is. I guess it's a knockoff lightsaber, probably.
I guess so, yeah.
So, unfortunately, Chris, you are not the first person to send in Zerne super heavy duty. Jeremiah is. Hello, Jeremiah. Thank you for doing that as well.
Thank you very much, Chris. Phil has come in with Kihor. K-I-H-O.
Yes.
Following my success with the Our Family, I'm hoping for a repeat with these babies. A Kihor. Love the weird 70s colour scheme. It's right up there for me. This is unearthed in a video conference remote control in the depths of Kentucky. Cheers, Phil. I think that video conferencing sort of technology back in the day, you will sometimes go into like a meeting room and they'll have like an electronic board on the wall.
Yeah.
and no one will know how to fucking use it. Yeah. It'll have weird kind of electronic marker pens that are connected to it.
Yeah.
No one really knows. It has a proprietary VGA input that nobody can connect to with their laptop. I love all technology that they thought this is going to last for 20 years, and they've nailed it into the wall. They screwed it in the wall, and now it's just used to for nothing.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine runs a rollout of that kind of technology now for Microsoft.
Okay, yeah,
and it's like properly advanced.
Yeah,
it's like a life size Zoom call, I suppose.
Yeah,
effectively.
Yeah,
but I thought exactly that when he was telling me about it. I thought in a few years' time, people ain't gonna be doing this shit. They're either going to reject it entirely or they're going to be on the metaverse, baby. anyway, Kehoe, Phil, thank you for sending these in. You are not a new player here either.
Phil.
Our friends Felix and Isaac have also sent them in. But the first person to send Kehoe's in was our listener friend Stanton, who sent them in all the way back in the summer of 2017, right at the very start of the Luke and Pete show. So Kehoe are almost as old as the Luke and Pete show itself.
Lovely stuff. I like to. I didn't mind that. Even though we didn't manage to get a new player, I think it's nice to sort of respect the amount of time we've been doing the feature.
Yeah, exactly.
Jack, don't say it. Don't say it. Long time listener, first time emailer, emailing all the way from hot and humid Taiwan. Can you imagine how fucking unbearable Taiwan is right now? That part of the world. We recently took a break from filling our faces with street food, delicious, to purchase a new TV. Cue strange looks from the girlfriend when the first thing I did was check the batteries. Yonghua. Superpower batteries. Are they a new player? Keep the good work. Jack did a little sort of throaty burp there. I said that. Apologies.
No worries. This is a controversial one, and I'm going to need a read from you on this.
All right.
So, Yonghua superpower batteries, courtesy of our friend Jack, who sent them in at the end of June.
Yeah.
Just getting them to them now. If you are taking Yonghua as one word, as in his photo here, Peter, see that?
Yeah.
Then they are new players.
Okay.
But here's where it gets complicated. If you look at what our friend Yannick back in May sent in, also Yonghua, but with a space.
I think that's a new player, and I think that's fine. And also, they've got a super heavy duty in there as well.
So it's essentially the same name, but with a space in between Yong and Hua, and it's therefore a different product, so it's a new player.
Yeah, I'm having that.
So, Jack, you have got a new player into the game. Well done.
It's not because of the space, it's because of the super heavy duty.
Oh, fine. Okay, fine. So one out of three. Yeah. We've got a new player in there. Thank you very much for that, Jack. And thank you, Peter, as ever, for being an excellent arbitrator of whether batteries are new players or not.
Get us an iron egg, will you?
Yeah.
In the Taiwan street market.
Have you been to Taiwan?
I have, yeah.
You like it?
One of my favourites.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's like...
What's good about it?
It's a mix of China and Japan. I mean, they occupied it for a bit, Japan.
I don't mean what's good about it. Foreign rubbish. What do you particularly like about it?
I like the fact that it mixes the grit and rawness of China and the efficiency and the organisation of Japan. The trains run, the food is, the street food is fucking delicious and kind of out there. And it's tiny and manageable and it's just fucking great.
Home of 50% of the world's semiconductors as
apparently
well.
Apparently so.
And if
for a bit.
What I read geopolitically is anything to go by. You don't think you'll be visiting there anytime again soon. Hello at lukeandpeter.com is the email address to get in touch with us. I would like to round off today's show, Peter, if I may, with an email from Doug, who's from New Jersey. There was a band in the cartoon Doug that had a genuinely good song.
Killer Tofu.
Yeah,
might be that. Killer Tofu.
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
Good song.
There we go. How do you feel?
Roger! I'm Roger, the shitbag. I'm green for some reason.
That's enough.
Or blue, I don't know.
That's enough.
Okay.
How do you feel about New Jersey? Because that's where our listener Doug is from.
I ain't never fucking been there, but I'd love to fucking try somebody at Pizza Pie.
Thanks, that's exactly what I was hoping
that's
for.
All right, cool.
While we're on that subject, by the way, one of, well, not new, I can't, listen, allow me to make this link before I do Doug's email.
Right.
He's not from New Jersey.
Right.
He's from New York City originally.
Okay.
But he played someone from New Jersey.
Okay.
Tony Sirico as Paulie Walnuts.
Oh, yes.
Passed away.
Didn't someone else out of
Ray Liotta died as well.
Was he in Sopranos?
No.
No. He's a gangster.
But Ray Liotta died. Right. Obviously, James Gandolfini died.
Yeah.
A while back. I think there was someone else as well. Anyway, we're losing a lot of people.
I like that story where he sort of, week one of recording with the Sopranos, he said to one of the writers, he said, Paulie Walnuts, he said, if you write me, if you kill me, if you write a scene where I'm killed, you're getting killed. It's lovely. It's lovely stuff.
He also famously refused to sign on for every new season before he got a cast iron guarantee that his character didn't become a rat. Which is just classic.
Yeah.
Classic. So
he would hang out in like Hollywood cafes where all the big swingers are and just get paged every 90 minutes.
Yeah.
So it sounded like he was important.
Yeah. I feel it's kind of interesting because one of the big storylines of Sopranos is that he tries to find an assisted living facility for his mother in the series.
Right.
And it's like a bit of comedy because he's a bit of comic relief, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's trying to find the place for her because he really loves his mom and all the rest of it. And I won't spoil what happens because you guys should watch it. And if you've already watched it, you'll know what happens.
Mm.
But I've read when I found out that he died, which was a few days ago, or maybe about a week ago now, he died in an assisted living facility. And I just thought, doesn't life come at you fast? Like, doesn't it come at you so quick that actually, although he always looked really old because of that, the way he looked,
he
wasn't actually that old, but obviously when he passed away, he was. Yeah. And apparently he used to protect, because all of his hair went grey kind of about, I mean, a season or two in, but he had to maintain the wings. So what he used to do as part of his process before every season, he used to do his whole hair black,
yes,
and he would dye in the wings.
Oh,
because they weren't there anymore.
Right, okay.
Because it was all grey.
Yes,
and anyway, there we go. He also, apparently he was in a lot of Woody Allen movies, but I've not seen him in any of them.
Mm.
Anyway, so that's a man who's not from New Jersey, but I wanted to crowbar a link in. Doug is a man who is from New Jersey and would like to follow up on a piece of content, if you can call it that, we mentioned about the Mall of America. Remember the Mall of America?
Yes.
So we were talking about how...
malls were big in the 80s, 90s.
In America, they just put malls places, and they're massive. Mall of America at one time was actually the biggest mall in the world. Doug says, hello, gentlemen. The Mall of America property was once home to the Metropolitan Stadium, the original home of the Minnesota Twins and the Minnesota Vikings. I'm guessing they built it there because everyone already knew where it was. Thanks for the laugh, Doug. So that's a correction, but he's done it in quite a nice way. So
that's nice. I like it.
Yeah,
what's the Minnesota? Are they a baseball
team? They're a baseball team, yeah. Minnesota Twins. And Vikings are NFL. Yeah.
Still not clear where. Why are they called Twins? They used to be called the Washington Senators.
Because Minnesota is known as the Twin City.
I see. Okay. Why is it called that then?
That's just
Let me know why. We know why Minnesota is known as the Twins.
I think it's like
a couple of S's in there.
I feel like it might be to do with the same way Budapest, like different sides of the city. So Budapest is Buda and Pest.
Right. Okay.
Together,
Minna and Sota.
I don't know if it's that. There's two kind of conurbations in one, I think.
Well, follow up on an email, please.
Let us know. I could just make it up, or you could actually tell us. And I want to end the show by saying that the guys who go and watch the Minnesota Vikings, because of course NFL is a winter sport, and baseball is a summer sport in the US. When you go and watch the Minnesota Vikings, some of the temperatures they put up with are absolutely ridiculous.
Mm.
I mean, it's not, you talk about going to a game, going to watch a Premier League game or whatever, or a football league game in January in the UK. It does not even come close. You see people there with like icicles on their beards and stuff.
Yeah.
In like minus 25 temperatures and stuff to watch the Vikings. And then the Vikings are fucking playing. It's crazy. Mm. Maybe they've got a new stadium with a roof on now. I don't know. Let us know about that as well. Hello@lukeandpeacher.com is the email address to get in touch with all your battery brands and your suggestions for content. We love to hear from you. We are at Luke and Pete Show on the social media as well. But that's it for Thursday. We'll be back on Monday, won't we, Peter?
We will.
Any big plans for the weekend?
Less
eventful than what you've been through recently?
I might work on my own DIY, my own house, to be honest.
Oh, you've been doing the fence, haven't you?
Fucking fence.
Yeah, all right.
Don't get a picket fence.
More on that another time. See you soon.
Every week, just upkeep until you fucking die.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.